Blog Talk Radio.
Morning show is all about you. Every Monday to Friday morning, we're here from 10 to 10:30 discussing business. It's the only online radio show that networks live. Today we have a special, special guest, Jolene Ivey. She's running for Lieutenant Governor. We are excited about having her. Are you here?
Well, thank you so much, Russell. I'm excited to be here.
It is an honor and a pleasure to have you on the air. This is such an opportunity because so many listeners, we have thousands of listeners every morning. It's an internet radio show, but it's very powerful. It's right to the people, and they really want to know, basically, what is the race about, what is going to be different from this race than other governor races. First off, I want to say personally what's different is you're on the ticket. You are an extraordinary woman. You are a woman who basically has done things in this county. You're a delegate. You have been serving for a long time. Give me basically what got you involved with politics and what drives you.
Wow. Well, what got me involved in politics is, you know, I live here in Prince George's County. My husband has been state's attorney for a number of years, and because of his position, I got to have a lot of information about what was going on in the county, and it got me just very involved. So I got to see very close up kind of a lot of the challenges that we have, and I could see how I could make a difference. So that's what started, and it's been quite an experience.
When it came to being selected for lieutenant governor on the ticket with Doug Gensler, was that something you expected or was it something that was really unexpected? And how did you feel when you were picked out of all the people that could have been picked when the list got to be short and actually they notified you? What was your reaction?
Well, you know, it was quite a roller coaster, the whole thing. When I first started hearing that I was under consideration, it was more of a rumor than anything else. And at first, I didn't realize how stressful it was until a few weeks later I heard from very good sources that I definitely was not going to be selected because he truly wanted to get someone from the Baltimore area, which I understood because that is the tradition in our state that one person on the ticket will come from the Baltimore area and one from the D.C. area. So to have both from the D.C. area was unusual. So when I heard that I definitely wasn't going to get picked, I actually was rather relieved, to tell you the truth. I didn't know how stressed out I was about the whole thing. But in the end, you know, my name started percolating back up again, and I realized that it was a great opportunity. So at that point, there was really nothing to do but wait. You can't really lobby for a position like that. You can't be asking, you know, for the that almost guarantees that you won't get it. So I just waited it out, and when I finally did speak to Doug, well, the day he told me that it was going to be me, I really had no idea that that would be the day he was going to offer it to me. In fact, he didn't even offer it to me then. He told me that it was probably going to be me, but I had to pass the vetting process, which is really not fun, let me tell you. But, in fact, the day that they actually made the announcement, I obviously knew it was me at that point. We'd already taken pictures together, and I'd already gotten the speech and, you know, prepared the speech. But he said to me that morning, you know, I never actually asked you to be my lieutenant governor. And he said, I can do it at the announcement. But in any event, he's really a great guy. He's very passionate about the state, very determined to make things right for people here. And he and I share that vision and that passion and that sense of urgency. And that's why I was excited to be a part of this, because this is just such a great opportunity to make good things happen for people here in Maryland.
I believe it was an excellent choice, an excellent choice. Not only do you accent him on the podium, but also you are really a personable individual. I watched you work the room. I watched you work the line at Golden Corral. I couldn't see anything more perfected as far as a candidate as you. You actually became personable with people who are going to vote. That is important. A lot of candidates don't have that it factor of personality. They may be astute. They may know everything as far as political. But what's important is to connect to the people. And I want to tell you from Be There Magazine standpoint, when you came to the event, at the networking event out in Beltsville, you did not have to do that. You did that out of your heart, out of your concern for the people. Everyone there that you touch is multiplied by four for other people that know that you are running. And that's what I want to talk about, too. You are not everyday candidate. You know, you are somebody who is in Prince George's County. You're a mother, you're a wife. You're a political individual, you're a delegate, but now you're going to be lieutenant governor, but you're going to be a different kind of lieutenant governor. And I want to explain to you also what my opinion is. Basically, when you see somebody like you and Doug Gensler, it's going to be like a reflection of Michelle and Obama. When they hit the presidency, it just took over the whole entire world, and because they never saw anything like it. There has been a lot of governors and first ladies governors, but there's not going to be anybody like you and Doug Gensler, because it's a good combination. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want you to discuss some of your aspects of what you're going to do for this county. We'll be right back with the State of Maryland, Rex.
Okay, sounds good.
Welcome back. This is the Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you. Networking on the radio. We have a special guest, Jolene Ivey. She's running for Lieutenant Governor of Maryland, the whole state of Maryland. The state of Maryland is not no chopped liver. It's an important state. It's a state that makes things happen, and Maryland is on the move, and Jolene Ivey and Doug Gensler is going to make it happen. Tell us why we should vote for you.
You should vote for us because we, number one, are willing to recognize things that need to change. All that you do is say we're number one. If you refuse to acknowledge that there are problems that need to be fixed, well, you're never going to find a solution. So you have to be able to acknowledge a problem before you can find a solution. And Doug Gansler and I are people who are very willing and open to see the problem. We see the benefits. We see the good things about Maryland, but we definitely can see the things like the achievement gap that need to be fixed, like the tax situation that is not helping our businesses to grow. We need to do more to strengthen the situation so that our families can flourish and our businesses can flourish. And if all you say is we're number one, well, you're never going to be able to do the things that actually make us number one for everyone. And that's the big difference between our ticket and any of the other tickets.
What about the school system? I believe that the school system has a lot to do with the aspect of a state. Any state in Maryland, you have Prince George's County, Montgomery County, et cetera. When the school system is elevated, the property is elevated, the individual is elevated, what do you see our school systems in the state of Maryland as far as going to another direction or a higher element of education?
Well, in order to change the achievement gap, to fix it, because right now we have the number two achievement gap in the United States, and that's just not acceptable. So in order to prove that, in order to help all kids be able to learn and to do a great job in school, you have to start well before children enter even pre-K. I mean, we all want to do something to expand pre-K, and that's great, but so many children are behind before they even get to pre-K. And what we want to do is reach out to moms while they're still pregnant. At-risk moms really need help. And if you can reach those families early on, have lots of mentoring for them and help with them so that they make sure that they make all their medical appointments, that their babies are immunized, and that they learn the value and the critical importance of talking to their children and reading to their children, they need to start really, really early. We all need to start talking to our children a lot, using lots of rich language with them. And a lot of moms need help in doing that. Now, I know it's not politically correct just to say moms when dads should be involved too, and absolutely I do agree with that. In fact, my dad raised us from the time I was three. My mom left when I was three. So I understand that men are involved and should be involved, but the reality is primarily it falls to women. So I'll just go ahead for the interest of being full and practical to stick with that. But if moms can talk to their babies a lot from the time that they are born, then it's just going to help them so much. When the kids get to the point where they're entering kindergarten or pre-K, they're already going to have a much larger vocabulary and be in a better position to succeed in school. And that's something that we can do as a state through programming and working directly with volunteer organizations and the faith community to have these the people who are trained to do this kind of work to go directly into homes and to help moms with that task. So Doug Gansler and I are enthusiastic and excited about that. The other thing when it comes to education, when you get to the high school level, a lot of students have started to drop out. We can't have that. We can't have students dropping out of school. And even though we've raised the dropout age to 18, it still happens. And that's just the fact of it. What we want to do is something that we've just released yesterday, is to have a vocational apprenticeship program so that when students get to the age of 16, they can get their first certificate of completion for high school. That is not their diploma, but their first certificate. And then they are be able to focus on their apprenticeship program. So be able to go into the community, into businesses, and learn whether it's computer programming or auto mechanics or any number of skills that are needed in the workforce. And we want to make this a statewide project so that students around the state have the opportunity to learn these valuable skills and be certified in, you know, whatever the computer programming might be or the plumbing or electrical work. And these kids will be able to have a pathway directly into existing jobs at the time that they graduate from high school. They can also, of course, choose to go right into college. That's, you know, of course, we want to encourage that also. But the reality is not every student wants to go to college, and not every job requires it. So if we can make sure that these students are on a path to either go directly into college or directly into a good-paying job, we want to make that happen.
That is, it touches my heart to hear you speak of this program. No way under any circumstances should anyone be dropping out of high school in 2013. It does not make any sense. I'm a
huge
advocate of education. When you, in the 60s, you had people dropping out of high school. When I was in high school in the 60s, you had people say, I'm going to drop out to help my mother. I'm going to work. And they had these apprentice programs, and they had this opportunity where you could drop out of school, work as a plumber apprentice with somebody, get the hours in and become a certified plumber and have a great life. Go out and become a meat cutter. That was in the 60s, you know, 50s, 60s. And then they had, in high school, they had vocational high schools. They had a high school that was dedicated to vocational work. In other words, you can go be a hairdresser, an auto mechanic. You can do things in high school. But to bring this program today in 2013-14, that's going to help so many youth who feel as though they can't make it. For a youth to drop out of high school now, not only is it disruptive of their life, but they will see in the future that they made a bad mistake. Even if you go to school and you can't cope with the aspect of high school bullying or somebody's doing something to you and you say, well, let me leave. No, let me find a way to stay. And what you're doing is commendable. I have a program, and I'm going to definitely, when you become Lieutenant Governor, I want to make sure you utilize this program. It's called A C Is Not Me. And I educate and empower youth to understand the greatness in them. It's called A C Is Not Me. And you get up in the morning
That's
and you
repeat
this. A C is not me. There's greatness in me. I will have my degree by the time I'm 22 or 23. It's important to me to live well in society, but under no circumstances can you let a teacher dictate to you who you are through a grade point average. You have three report card periods or four, and you have four actual report card periods. So you got to do something to prevent that teacher from labeling you as a C or D or E. It's not necessary. So I'm going to, you have my support on this. I will definitely be with you on the education card because it's necessary. It touches my heart to have, it makes me sad to see a youth who's got everything going from technology, internet-based life now. Why would you drop out of school? Why would you drop out of school? I mean, it doesn't make any sense because you're putting yourself in a situation where you can't even make it. You're way behind the eight ball. So when you become Lieutenant Governor and Doug becomes governor, when that ticket, y'all are going to do things that's going to really change this county. And I want you to emphasize that on your campaign trail, what you're talking about, because most parents, most people, what you just said, don't know. They have not
a
clue.
We just released the video about it, and it's called Front and Center, our video series, and the most recent one is on this exact issue. So I feel like a lot of people don't have the time and energy to look up our, you know, 20-point plan on education or any other issue. Most people aren't going to bother with that, but they might have time to look at a two-minute video and get the general idea of what we're trying to do and why we think it's important. So we'd love for you to go to the Doug Gansler website and take a look at the video. And it's also on my Facebook fan page. So please, please have people come look. It's great.
I'm going to post it on Be There Magazine and also on our Facebook page. We're going to take a break. We've got the chat room is blowing up. We've got a couple of callers online. When we come back, there's a lady in the chat room. Her name is Sharon Morton, and she has a question about sex trafficking in Maryland. We're going to come right back with Lieutenant Governor-to-be, Jolene Ivey.
Thanks so much.
Welcome back. The Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you. Networking on the internet. Powerful, powerful, powerful tools. The internet changed the game. Technology changed everything. We are in a technology-driven world. The way to get anything out into the public, the community, is networking and internet. And we are pleased this morning to have Jolene Ivey, who's on the ticket with Doug Gensler for governor and lieutenant governor of Maryland. In the chat room, we have an individual, her name is Sharon Morton, and she wants to know about sex trafficking. Is that a big problem in Maryland, or is it something that we're going to control as governor because you're going to have a hold of?
Well, you know, it is a big problem, and it's a serious problem. I think our issue in Maryland is that we're right on the I-95 corridor, and whereas we're very convenient for travelers, that means we're also convenient for sex traffickers. And it's just this very sad situation that we need to change. And, a lot of times it's young girls being pimped out, and it's just a horrible situation. We're trying to, find ways to get these girls out of this kind of work. It's not always something they're doing by choice. And either way, they need to be removed from those situations. And the men, usually it's the men, who are pimping them out, they need to go to jail, and they need to go for a very long time. It's just, it's a dangerous kind of way to operate, and it's just horrible. So the more we can do to get these young girls and women out of this kind of work or out of these kind of situations, the better. It's really, really a serious situation.
Well, as a former PG County police officer, I was a PG County police officer for years in Prince George's County, and I tried my best to prevent anything sexual, anything criminal. PG County was known for all type of crimes and innuendos in the 70s, 80s. It's 2013. To have this going on in the state of Maryland, period, is unacceptable. And I will do anything I can to support you, and I want the listeners to get on board. When you become Lieutenant Governor, Doug Gensler becomes governor, you and him can make sure that this stops. It has to stop. It can no longer continue. Everything is geared around our youth, the education aspect, their structure of who they're going to be as human beings. It's the future. And we have an obligation. It's us adults now taking charge and saying, let's reach back. Let's look at this child. Let's make sure it happens. When you spoke about the mothers that are not getting the proper care, it starts way before preschool. We have to implement that and educate these young women who are having these babies that this is no joke. You have to take this for life, and this life is now in control of your life. You now have to do something to make sure that life is better or worthwhile. We got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the line with Jolene Ivey, air code 301-673. You go ahead. You're on the air. Jolene, I'm really, really happy that you're on this radio. Tell us again what basically this interview is going to be such a powerful staple in the campaign, because first off, I'm going to leave it up for a year. You're going to have access to this interview where you can text it out, or you can put it on your Facebook page, but they need to hear you. No one can tell you better than you, and you do an excellent job of basically letting people know why you should be Lieutenant Governor, why Doug Gensler should be Governor. Give us the information on what is impressive, you with Doug Jensen. I know somebody you've known because you've been in the political arena. You've met him probably before. But what made you accept the nomination, and what is such an institutional aspect of Doug Jensen that makes you want to be associated?
Doug is such a visionary and such a great leader, and he cares about people, and he cares about doing what's right, even if it gets on someone's nerves. So everybody's not going to agree with us. We're going to run into situations where, you know, perhaps there's some big senator or whoever does not want to go our way, but we are very determined to fix things for the state. So we don't go along to get along. We're not an empty suit. We are someone who's engaged in touch with the community. We care very much. And I say we're both like this, which is why I'm excited to be a part of the ticket. You know, it's funny, when Doug and I were first very seriously talking about this possibility, we had to laugh because we agreed that he and I have the same strengths and the same weaknesses. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun because we both are very passionate and we both get excited about getting something fixed. And we can be very stubborn, both of us. But we get along with people. He's definitely a people person. And, you know, we care and we're going to work hard. We're going to get things done. And we're not to just get along. We're trying to make things better for people.
When you have two people on the ticket who are people persons, people who can gravitate to you instantly, that is an important quality. Normally you have one or you have the other, or you have one person that's maybe sort of starts laid back, can't get to, somebody can't walk up to them. They're like not visible, or they're not acceptable. You can't get to them. When you have two people like yourself who are people driven, but
yeah,
we do kind of drive our
campaign people crazy because we are so accessible. I mean, we both are very much into, you know, if somebody calls or texts or whatever, we answer right back. We're very generous with sharing our cell phone numbers. And, you know, it's just so funny when I answer the phone and people say, "Oh, I didn't know that you would answer your own phone." And I think to myself, "Well, gee, who else is going to answer my phone? It's my phone, you know." And we're both very, very accessible. We want to be. And I find that people really don't abuse the privilege. So I'm very happy to be someone people can reach, because that's why I'm in office. I'm not in office so I can have a title. I'm in office so I can help people, and I can't help people if I don't know what they need. And the only way I'm going to find out is if they tell me. So I want to be accessible. And right now, a great way to reach me is to email me at jolene@ganslerformaryland.com. Spell out Gansler for Maryland, and Maryland's the whole word, not an abbreviation, .com. And Jolene is J-O-L-E-N-E. So please email me, and you will hear back, and you won't hear back from a machine or anyone else. You'll hear back from me.
Well, people are going to definitely gravitate to you. When is the election? Give people, a lot of people don't even know when the election is. Tell them when the election is and how far away is it and what they have to do.
We have a much earlier primary this year than we've ever had before. It's going to be on June the 24th. Early voting starts on June the 12th. So we had to change the primary date because of some federal requirements so that there's enough time between the primary and the general election for our troops overseas to get their ballots. And that's why the change was made, but that means that it's going to be a very early primary and a lot of people aren't going to know about it. So it's really important that we get the word out that the election's in June this year for the primary, and truly in Maryland, that is the most critical date.
Well, I'm going to do everything we can to make sure that people know that, because that's going to be a big factor. If people don't know, they say, "Oh, I didn't know." and all of a sudden the election is done, and all of a sudden the votes are in, and they say, I would have voted, but I didn't know. So we got to make
sure that
people know that it's early this year, that they have to know. And we cannot negate that. You can't say, well, you know what, we're going to assume they know. We're going to push that continuously.
Yes.
You know?
Thank
and
you. I really appreciate it.
Well, all of my events, I'm going to make sure that people know we got a big event coming up in February for Black History Month. I want to make sure that people know what's happening, what to do, where to go, how to make sure that you get the candidate that you want to be governor. Because governor of Maryland is huge. I mean, it's a lot of responsibility. It takes a lot of work. And also there's millions of people that need your support, that want you to help them. So far, the political aspect of governorship, even the governor now, the grassroots people don't know. They just look around and say, oh, well, I know who the governor is, but they don't know what the governor's doing. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be a different type of governor, lieutenant governor, Doug Gensler. You're going to be something that people know what is happening and what you're doing, and you're going to have a presence. That's why it's important to get out there
and
keep yourself out.
No doubt about it. But, Russell, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for this opportunity to talk to you and to reach your listeners.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. This has been the Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you. See you tomorrow morning. Money.